Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. For over 15 years, the IBM Center for the Business of Government has sought to connect research to practice, sponsoring third-party research on a broad range of public management issues facing us today. The past several decades have seen far greater attention to the challenge of making government programs work better. There is no better bellwether of this movement than the high-risk report of the U.S. Government Accountability Office, a biennial assessment of the biggest challenges facing some of the federal government's most important programs. The high-risk list is a roadmap for improving performance throughout government. It is much more than a catalog of government's toughest, nastiest management problems, although it is certainly that. More importantly, it is a guide to what it takes to solve those problems. What are the root causes of high-risk problems? How can agencies get off the high-risk list? And what are some of the strategies to keep you off the high-risk list? Today, we will explore these questions and much more with Dr. Don Kettle, one of the nation's most insightful observers of government operations, who has reviewed what changes in the high-risk list mean over time in his recent IBM Center report, Managing Risk, Improving Results, Lessons for Improving Government Management from GAO's High-Risk List. Don, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
It's so good to be with you here today.
Also joining us from IBM is Lisa Mascolo. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, Don, what is the GAO's high-risk list report? What prompted its creation, and how does it seek to make government programs work better?
This is really a monster report that now they've been doing for 25 years. They started back in the 90s as a result of some of the problems that had been coming up, actually, in the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And there were major problems there in contracting and in grant management. And the question was, I wonder if there's anything else like this out there in the government. And the Office of Management and Budget at the time did its own analysis, but GAO sunk its teeth into the issue as well. And as they started looking, the answer was, well, yes, there are other problems like this. And every 2 years since, they've been coming out with another report. The goal was to try to identify the programs that are most at risk for waste, fraud, mismanagement, abuse, the kinds of things that end up in the front pages of newspapers or in 60 Minutes. And the goal is to try to identify what those are and what the root causes are so we can try to find some way to be able to solve them.
So what would you describe for us the criteria for identifying an area that would be high risk?
And one of the things that's been interesting over time is the GAO has changed its criteria. And what they've done is, for the most part, look at the underlying issues that have to do with, is this a program where there are problems in management, where there are problems of leadership, where there's a lot of money that's involved, and where either there's demonstrated evidence of problems or we're going down this road is likely to create further problems down the road. I mean, one example easily is, for example, the Defense Department's procurement process and some of the problems that they've had in trying to manage some defense systems. On the other hand, one program that comes back regularly is the census. It's one of those things you do once. You do once every 10 years, and you got to do it right. You can't come back next month and try it again. So on the one hand, demonstrated problems that GAO has wanted to pay attention to. On the other, things that they know that have to be done right and where there's no room for error.
It seems like the high-risk series would be a sort of treasure trove for reporters. You know, to what extent do you think that has been the case? And could you describe for us some of the most complex delivery challenges the government has had?
Sure. And in fact, it's no surprise that my example, 60 Minutes, wasn't just accidental. If you're a reporter for 60 Minutes, this is just a trove constantly for plumbing away, looking for problems. Like many GAO reports, it's the kind of thing that leads to the kind of investigations that reporters can zero in on to demonstrate problems in government. The bigger problem here is that there are more fundamental issues that are at the core. And the issue here is whether or not there's some things in a broader sense, we can learn. For the most part, the high-risk list has been a series of anecdotes more than anything else. 32 different programs on the list at this point, and that amounts to 32 different stories that reporters can write. Reporters have written some of them, actually haven't written all of them. There are more things there that are yet to be done. But the more interesting problem by far for me, I think, is what this tells us about government and about what works right, what doesn't work quite so well, and what we can do to try to make it better. So really, with this report of mine, I'm trying to approach it as more of a glasses half full kind of problem, because I really see it as a guide to what it is that we ought to be able to do better.
Would you tell us a little bit about the 2015 edition? How many programs are on the list? And perhaps you could highlight some of the more serious programs considered to be at risk.
Sure. There are, at this point, 32 programs in the 2015 list. And 2015 is the most recent list. There'll be another one in the beginning of 2017. And the programs really run the gamut. There's some that have been on since the very beginning, like the Medicare program. Not surprisingly, it involves so much money and it's so complicated that it is, by GAO's definition, at risk for fraud, waste, abuse, and mismanagement. There's the Medicaid program as well, which, because of the complex relationship with the states, creates lots of opportunities for problems, for mistaken payments, for other kinds of issues having to do with service delivery. But there are other things that are maybe not quite so obvious. There's, for example, weather satellites. It turns out that we are incredibly dependent, not surprisingly, on good pictures and telemetry from weather satellites to, for example, tell us where hurricanes are going to go. And these systems that we have up there now are fragile. Many are nearing the end of their lives. And if one collapses, we could find ourselves without important coverage at exactly the wrong moment. So that's a very high-risk issue as well. So if you look at that, supply chain management in the Pentagon, problems of surface transportation and managing those pieces, the problem that the Department of the Interior has in collecting royalties that are due from oil and gas that private companies take out of the ground. It's really a wide-ranging list, from things that we are not surprised about, like Medicare and Medicaid and many defense programs, to some things that we might not have thought about looking for.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the list has evolved over time? What the changes in criteria, or what's the nature and the scope of the programs from the beginning to today?
The original list, and this was back in 1990, there were 14 programs on the list. Now there are 32. And so we've expanded the list considerably. An interesting question is whether that means – does that mean the government's now twice as bad as it was before? And I think what it really means is that GAO is being twice as careful. They are poking much more carefully in some of these issues. They are trying to get ahead of some of these challenges before small problems become big disasters. And they are trying to track things on a more systematic basis so that Congress can be better informed about the decisions and actions that it needs to take. But what we've really seen is an expansion of the list, an expansion into more categories. And GAO is also spending a lot more time now trying to understand both the root causes of some of these problems, but also to try to track progress. Because there was a complaint for a long time that, well, we got on the list and I guess we understand, but how do we get off? Well, it's hard to tell. How far are we down the road? Well, good luck. And it's one of those things, GAO, not surprisingly, isn't in the management consulting business, and so they don't necessarily need to or in a position to be able to tell agencies what to do. But what we really have now is a much more sophisticated and much more methodologically careful way of looking at these basic questions of what government's problems are and what we can try to do to solve them. And that's really been the biggest change over time, the increase in GAO's own sophistication in trying to understand what risk in government means and why it matters.
Yeah. And so, when you delve into the report, Don, it gives you a fascinating tour or overview of some of the government's most pressing problems. But it also sheds some light on certain things. And I'd like you to sort of talk about three elements that make the high-risk series sort of a tool for improving government performance.
The thing that I really find most interesting is that, for the most part, to step back, most people, when they read the report, don't read the report. I mean, it's 400 pages, and it's kind of tough to get through for all but the geekiest geeks, and I think there are probably only a handful of people who have even actually read the thing from cover to cover. People go and look for their favorites and dive in. But if, in fact, you were to look at it cover to cover, there's some very interesting findings that begin coming out as you look across the programs. And one of the things that happens is that we can understand that a lot of the core problems have to do with managing problems across boundaries. almost no government program of any kind is anything that any one agency can control any longer. Everything requires coordination across boundaries. And the single most common problem that these high-risk problems all share is the problem of spanning boundaries. And underneath that is the problem of getting good performance metrics and getting good information systems and with a whole series of issues. But then underlying all this is a second kind of issue, because in almost all cases, these really are people problems. It's one thing to say that we need to span boundaries, but we need people who know how to do that, so that the government's human capital system is one of the high-risk issues. But I'm fond of pointing out the fact that that really is the one thing that links across everything. Better and smarter people in the right places are what we need to try to solve these issues. And then a third piece is the importance of getting the information systems right. We just really need a way to be able to track what government's doing, to be able to follow performance. And in some cases, it's just the information systems themselves that are part of the problem. So if we were to try to just get at those things in particular, we would be a long way down the road toward being able to solve not only these high-risk problems themselves, but also the broader collection of issues that government's really struggling with.
And one of the things you talk about, Don, in your book is the managing of risk across the government enterprise. And how has the federal government taken in a more expansive strategy for understanding and managing risk? You identified two elements. Could you tell us about those?
Sure. I mean, one of the big things that's really changed dramatically is, first, that there now is a broader risk management strategy at the core of all this. When GAO originally began the high-risk list back in 1990, it was a collection of individual things that amounted to the, whoa, this looks like it might be problems. We ought to pay attention to this. And so there's been much more of an effort now to focus far more attention on a broad system-wide effort to identify risk, to understand that there are some patterns that could end up causing waste, fraud, and abuse unless we keep an eye on them. And so there's that set of things. And then the second thing that we need to pay attention to as well is the need to develop the combination of government's capacity and response, the problem of getting sufficient human capital, the problem of getting information systems, the problem of getting our processes straight to try to get ahead of these risk issues as they begin to bubble up. And so many of the problems that we have are a result of not only not understanding the nature of risk, but in the failure to build capacity in advance to try to manage and to try to solve those issues as they begin to bubble up before they become mega crises.
What are the root causes of high-risk problems? We will explore this question and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors returns.